This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD, sponsored by Hi-Lo Auto Sales, online at HiLoAutoSales.com and Tire Pros of Frederick. We're online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. We have a wonderful panel back for a fifth go-round, one off of the record. Five shows in a row at the same panel. I think the most we ever did was six. So we're one off of the record. Call Guinness if we do one more show. Julius Schern is the pastor at St. John's Bible Fellowship Church in New Market, and the evangelist at that same church is Kendall Lovelace. We're also joined by Daniel Rasby, who is a recent law school grad who just took the bar, and he's on pins and needles waiting to see if he passed. I don't know. He's clearly going to pass. If you listen to the last four shows, he has his degree from Oak Brook College of Law in California. Did I mention me? I'm Troy Skinner. I don't know if I did or not, but I'm irrelevant. So we've been talking about things in the news, and there's been a lot of them. I mean, we've talked about, I don't know, how many do you think, 10, 12 stories probably so far in the last, or pretty close to it anyway, over the last four, at least 10 stories probably, I'm going to guess. So here's a story that's from LifeSite. I wasn't really familiar with this website until I saw this story. And this is not really a news story. I mean, it was a news story, but what I'm going to read to you was not a news article. It was an opinion piece written by, where's the author? I don't know. It's in their Faith Freedom and it's in their Faith Freedom. I just noticed this for the first time. Mm-hmm. It's in their Faith Freedom and Homosexuality section. Oh, man. Okay. So no wonder I can't find the author's name. They don't want to admit to writing it. So the title on this is Fearless 85-Year-Old Says No says no to LGBT Flag at Church. Now the entire town is against her. So this is in, I guess, a town, let's see, an elderly woman in ultra-liberal Carlisle, Massachusetts, had the nerve, again, this is an opinion piece, had the nerve to publicly criticize the gay, quote-unquote, flag outside of a church in the center of town. She caused such an inflamed reaction that it was reported in Boston's NBC TV News. She was not backing down. Sally Nauman, an 85-year-old resident of Carlisle and a longtime mass resistance activist. Are you familiar with mass resistance? I am not. Mass resistance activist was very upset that the Unitarian Church in the center of town is flying a gay rainbow flag outside. She is distressed because people she knows have died of quote-unquote, gay-related diseases. She strongly believes that the homosexual lifestyle should not be promoted. Interestingly, for nearly 25 years, Sally and her husband had been members of that Unitarian church. But a few years ago, while speaking at a Sunday service, she raised concerns about the church's promotion of the homosexual lifestyle. For simply saying that, the church leaders declared her to be, quote, unwelcoming. After a hearing, and that's in quotes, Sally was banned from the church and told that if she came back, they would call the police. It gets better from here. By the way, it's interesting. She was in the Unitarian Church herself. Mm-hmm. Maybe she didn't understand what the Unitarian Church stands for, but they're like ultra-liberal on these sorts of issues.
They're not exactly known for being fundamental or orthodox.
Yeah, so why she was surprised, I'm not sure. But anyway, so here's she wrote a letter to the editor of the local newspaper, and here's what she said. To the editor. That's a good way to address a letter to the editor. One of the saddest vistas I know is that of the beautiful rainbow flying as a flag to welcome and encourage the extremely dangerous behavior of homosexuality. Each time I go through the center of my town of Carlisle, I see such a flag and my heart cries out, why? Why? Indeed, why is this flag being used to speak well of homosexuality and encourage the behavior? Where is the caring for people who, for one reason or another, have gotten into this behavior? And homosexuality is a behavior. No one is born homosexual, she writes. Where is the truth? Where is the help for such people? It seems they are only helped down the garden path to some of the worst diseases known to man. Just look at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention website for information as to how devastating homosexual behavior actually is. And then look at pfox.org for personal stories where ex-homosexuals speak out. Knowing how many have contracted HIV and AIDS and even died as a result of homosexual behavior leaves me wondering why people would promote such behavior, let alone churches such as the Unitarian Church and the United Church of Christ. Signed, Sally J. Nauman. So the story keeps getting bigger, so pardon me for taking so long, but I want you to get the full thrust of what's going on here. So in the next issue of the Carlisle Mosquito, that's apparently the name of the newspaper, there were 9 angry letters attacking her, not one letter supporting her. Sally's letter was called, and these are quotes from some of these 9 letters, hate speech, disinformation, rancid, ignorant. Several letter writers said that despite the First Amendment, Sally's letter should not have been allowed to be printed. The attacks on Sally continued in the May 12th issue, just a few days later, of the newspaper with 7 more angry letters. And in those letters, Sally was called homophobic, hateful, intolerant, prejudiced, libelous, and malicious. And then it says in the May 5th issue of the newspaper, next to the letters was a scathing editorial. This means it was written by the editors of the newspaper, not a letter writer who wrote in, aimed at Sally and her letter. In particular, the editorial explored whether Sally's facts and opinions should be banned from the newspaper in the future. Yeah, you wouldn't want facts in a newspaper. It's admitted that in the past years, the paper had run letters similar to Sally's without a problem. But now the community must be protected from these views. That's because the editors say, and here's a quote from the editorial, there are times when a position becomes so repulsive it is no longer suitable for discussion, and perhaps advocacy of homosexuality as a sickness has migrated into that territory. Now, one of the letters in the paper was from a local political group saying that people should fight Sally by putting out rainbow flags everywhere in town. And so a lot of people did. They put all over the place to make her feel uncomfortable and like the whole town was against her. However, she did happily report that there were some people who kind of on the down low would let her know that, hey, we're on your side. Good for you. But we're not going to stand up with you. But good for you. Keep fighting the good fight. So, wow. Okay. So I don't know what the legal definitions are exactly of hate speech or libelous material, but it seems to me that there's nothing libelous in here because she didn't talk about any specific person. And don't you have to talk about a specific person to be
– With libel, you have to publish a false fact or false statement, and it has to cause damage to the reputation. Clearly, the gay residents of this town did not have their reputation tarnished by this because most of the town did not agree with her.
Now, could the homosexuals in that town have filed some sort of class action movement against her because she didn't mention
– Well, they'd have to prove that her statements were false.
But if they were, could they have as a group done that?
Knowingly or intentionally or negligently false, and it'd be very hard, I think. But I think
– Does she have a case in the reverse, I wonder?
Possibly. I don't know. Again, I'm not her – attorney, and I'm not an attorney either, so I can't speak to that. But I do know this reminds me of something you said a few weeks ago about we've changed some meanings of words. You changed the word gender, you mentioned a few weeks ago, and we changed the meaning of the rainbow. It used to be a symbol of God to remind us of God, that God destroyed the entire world full of sin, and then he's not going to do it again until the end of time. And that has been completely changed and twisted, and I think that speaks to what you said a few weeks ago. I have a personal problem, and I'll let you break in, Pastor, in a minute, but I have a personal problem with using the word homophobic, as she was called. Phobic implies fear. I do not fear homosexuality as a Christian, and I don't think anyone as a Christian should fear homosexuality. You can disagree with something. You can say that such actions may be sins, just like there's many other sins. It's not the ultimate sin or anything like that. But you can disagree with something and think it's a sin without being afraid of it or afraid of people who do such a sin. I object to the use of the term homophobic, and I think it's been wrongly applied to Christian beliefs because Christians are not afraid of sin. We were slaves to sin, and mm-hmm. we are still sinners, but we mm-hmm. have been made alive in Christ Jesus.
Amen. I think Sally is truly a victim of political correctness. I think somewhere you were reading that Sally was, what, 80-some years old?
85.
And when Sally was young and growing up and going to church, Very possibly that Unification Church, whatever kind of church it was, probably did speak against homosexuality, and she is just standing on her convictions. Listen, people are people, and there's all manner of sin in people. To me, homosexuality is a sin. Why? Because the Bible teaches me that. Do I hate homosexuals? Absolutely not. I love homosexuals.
And you're not afraid of them either.
Nor am I afraid of them.
So that is the definition of homophobic. We're not afraid of homosexuals.
I've got homosexuals in my family. I try to get them in my church because I want them to get up under this anointing because Jesus came to heal the sin-sick world.
And even if you're afraid, I mean, again, I don't want to overly parse the words here, but just because you're afraid of something doesn't mean you have a phobia, right?
Right. A phobia is more irrational fear of something.
Yeah, like if I'm in traffic and it's a stop and go, you know, accordion kind of traffic where you're doing 50 and you slam on your brakes, you're doing 50, you slam on your brakes. Every once in a while you glance in your rearview mirror and you're afraid the guy behind you is going to hit you. But that doesn't mean I'm accident phobic. Right? I mean, right. I'm just like, in the moment, afraid of something that could actually legitimately happen. That's a rational fear. That is it's not, phobia is like, right? It's like an ongoing, right. Nonstop, oh my God.
More of an extreme and irrational
right.
fear.
I can't go outside because I might have a tree fall on my head.
Precisely.
You know?
That in and of itself is a sickness.
Right.
Homophobic is a sickness.
Right.
And that's what they're trying to imply. I do not believe that 85-year-old is homophobic. I think she's a good Christian who's just calling out a sin, you know, and I think that what we have done...
She might be a bad Christian calling out a sin.
And
like I would
well,
probably
be. The Bible
teaches
there's no one good, but I don't think that's quite what he meant there.
And sin is calling out a sin is not a problem.
Right, right.
The problem is this. The problem is that we live in a world that wants to do away with Jesus Christ. Don't want us to talk about it, don't want us to breathe it, don't want us to think it, don't want us to feel it, you know. And I applaud her. And what makes homosexuality
a golf clap for Sally
any better than womanizing or some other sin? And we just need to be very clear about we believe.
I think Christians can fall into the trap sometimes, though, of pushing so hard against the prevailing thought that homosexuality is right and normal and good, and saying no, it's a sin. But to the extent that we're omitting references to other sins, and we are implying, and this is where the world sometimes comes and says, "No, you're being hypocritical." Well, no, if you have an accurate theology, we're not implying that other sin is less bad or better. You know, there is lots of sin, and different people struggle with different sins, but that doesn't mean that we condone sin. We love the sinner, hate the sin.
That's absolutely.
Yeah, and I get concerned too when we meaning the church, because everybody in this room is a Christian, you know, falling within the Protestant realm of Christianity. So we're kind of one-sided, lopsided in our viewpoint that's on this show, but. So speaking for us as a group, I think that we get ourselves into some trouble when we wag our finger at a non-believing person or a non-believing community of people and trying to hold them to a standard that God has put forward. We can't live to that own standard ourselves. I think we need to go to the unbelieving and hit them with the message of truth and redemption and grace that's found in Jesus Christ. And then once they become a believer, then you disciple them, you train them up in the truth and say, now that you're a believer, you got to stop sleeping around with all those women and you got to stop stealing from your boss and you got to stop lying to your friends.
Cheating.
And you got to...
Absolutely.
And if you're engaged in some sort of homosexual behavior, you got to stop that too. Like,
yes.
But I don't think we unfortunately start there by wagging their finger, pointing out everybody's sin, and then all that does is cause them to turn back and say, start wagging their finger back. Well, what about your sin?
Well,
it's not about that. It's about salvation in Christ. Well, we've kind of lost the argument already before it started.
Here's the problem. In the story that you just read, you know, it started out by raising the flag of sin. They were talking about raising the LGBT flag. And I think that as a Christian, I don't think she was wagging her finger at them. I think that she was stating exactly what she should state as a Christian.
I think she actually did it well. I don't even know that her argument would have to change if she wasn't a Christian, because her argument wasn't based on religion. Her argument was based on her personal experience with people she knows that died from HIV and AIDS. Right. And so as a medical fact, people get sick from engaging in certain behaviors, and she's not a fan of that. And so this was kind of a secular argument, and she still got lambasted for it.
Well, she implied that because of their homosexuality, they got sick. Facts weren't complete.
But that wasn't based on the Bible.
It remains a fact that, as a general rule, if you practice abstinence until marriage and you are always the husband of one wife and you never have an extramarital affair, you cannot get AIDS and HIV. So,
blood transfusion, things like that.
Yeah, that's why I said as a general rule. But that's where she's saying, and the behavior that is outside traditional Christian teaching as relates to sex, that does lead the potential for diseases. And I think Paul speaks to that in Romans when he says they you know, received in themselves their recompense.
This is The Faith Debate. I'm Troy Skinner. You're listening to us on 930 WFMD, online at WFMD.com. Keyword faith takes you right to our page. We're joined. The voice you heard right before mine was that of Daniel Razvi. He is how long ago did you graduate?
A few months ago.
Well, congratulations. That's pretty cool. And he took the bar and he's waiting anxiously. He'll probably have those results in just a matter of a few weeks. And then I can call him a legal expert and he won't get mad at me. He went to Oak Brook College of Law in California. Julia Shern of St. John's Bible Fellowship Church. He's the pastor there in Newmarket. And Kendall Lovelace is the evangelist at that same church, St. John's Bible Fellowship Church. In the whole same vein, the LGBT vein, here's a story from the Toronto Star. And the title of this, the headline on this is, British Columbia, not before Christ. This British Columbia baby's ID says U under gender, the letter U. And here's why that's good, experts say. So they've got a field for the sex of the baby, or the gender, as it says in this story, and it has U. So here's, I'm going to read that. I got to clear my throat. Hold on. Pardon me for that. So this apparently takes place in Vancouver. A parent's request to exclude their child's sex on government-issued identification is pushing past the boundaries of gender stereotyping, experts say. Corey Doughty, a British Columbia parent who identifies as transgender and prefers the pronoun they, refused to provide the sex of their child, Cyril, to the government when they were born in November. Dottie said it was a victory when Cyril's provincial health – I gotta look up the word Cyril and see if it means something. Cyril's provincial health card arrived in the mail in April displaying a U instead of an M or an F to designate the child's sex. Vancouver-based lawyer Barbara Findlay, whose name is spelled with a small B and a small F who advocates for gender-free identification, said race is no longer recorded on birth certificates or other identification because it's personal information and gender should be treated the same way. And this is a quote. One's sex, one's gender identity is as personal a piece of information as how you identify your race, and it shouldn't be on ID documents, said Findlay, whose legal name is not capitalized. Gender-neutral birth certificates could be issued in Ontario by the year 2018. That's so far off. Why would we worry about it? Aaron Dever, chair in transgender studies at the University of Victoria, said an infant's gender identity may not develop as expected. Assigning gender may also force intersex babies into a category in which they don't belong. What in the world is going on? In Ontario, gender was removed from health cards already back in June of 2016, and driver's licenses already have an X as an option. It's a move that Dottie and other advocates for gender-free ID want to see implemented for all government documents. So what do you have to say about all that?
Well, I object to the comparison between race and gender. The Bible makes it very clear there is one race. We are the human race.
The human race, amen.
And on forms, as a personal thing, whenever possible, I do.
You and I are sadly like-minded. I'm worried for you.
On forms, when I have to fill something out, I often will write in my own box and type in human for other. And because I don't believe that there is such a thing as race. Now, I understand what people are trying to say by race. They mean ethnic backgrounds, and sometimes they are talking about skin color. There's more genetic variation between the lobes of your head being – the lobes of your ear being attached or free than there is in the color of your skin. So it's not something that's a very big difference, and we are all one race. Now, with gender, we are two. We are male and female, as the pastor said a few weeks ago.
And God made them in his image.
He made them in his image.
Male and female, he made them.
Male and female. And there are two. There, you know, if you have an XY chromosome, you're a male. If you have an XX chromosome, you're a female. And that's a biological fact. It used to be that if someone claimed to not be sure or be confused about that, that it was treated as a mental illness. It was mm-hmm. treated as something that they were emotionally in need of help and counseling. Mm-hmm. And people were healed from that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that anymore. It's not politically correct.
It's not politically correct. Genesis 5 and 2 says that he made them male and female. He made them in his image. And then he blessed them. Then he blessed them. I also will remind you of this. The image that God made us in was not just the flesh. He made us in a spiritual image as well. And that's where the political correctness misses the boat. They don't deal with the spirit. They deal with the flesh.
Right, yeah. Well, we're going to wrap up our marathon of shows here. We've done five. We had a bunch of other stories I was thinking we might get to. Maybe we'll save those for another time, or other stories will come up. We'll have you guys back on. Maybe that would be fun. One thing I want to say from a theological, biblical standpoint on this whole gender, sex identification thing, it really does matter from how you understand the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of people that are putting, and I only got a couple of seconds here, but putting a push to try to gender neutralize the pronouns mm-hmm. in the Bible. And that doesn't mean that God is a man who has particular kind of genitalia. I mean, God is spirit. He doesn't have a body per se at all. That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many themes about how to understand what's happening in the Bible with federal headship and the first Adam and the second Adam and so many things where understanding the gender, if you take the gender, if you neutralize the gender in the Bible, you lose something really important about how to understand what's being said
Absolutely.
And communicated. So
yes.
it's
Agreed.
A dangerous thing. It's a stand the church needs to take. Anyway,
yes.
Thank you so much. Daniel Razvi from Oak Brook College of Law, recent graduate there in California. Lewis Shearn, pastor at St. John's Bible Fellowship Church. Kendall Lovelace, the evangelist there. I'm Troy Skinner. Thanks to our sponsors, Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAutoSales.com, and Tire Pros of Frederick. That's in Frederick, by the way. Thanks so much for listening. Appreciate it. Check us out online, WFMD.com, keyword faith. Until next week, God bless.